Hello, my name's Joey Hess, and I'm giving a little screencast right now of a programming session that I did earlier today. And what I was working on was a program called GitAnnax, which is something that I wrote, and it's Haskell code. And I thought I would just show you what programming in Haskell is like for me these days, and generally what programming is like for me these days. So when I got started on this little adventure, I started off by writing down the documentation for the feature I was going to write, which is something that I've really increasingly gotten into, is doing documentation first, and only once I have some kind of a description for the user of what I'm trying to implement, I actually sit down and do the actual coding part of it. I think that this sort of solidifies the thing. I mean, you could try to write a test case, you could write a spec, but I always want to have documentation anyway, so I just write the user documentation down. So I think this is kind of the key point right here, where I look and see, oh, there's a get command and a drop command. This optimized thing that I'm trying to figure out enough to write down, it either gets or it drops. And there's reasons for it to get or drop and details, but that's sort of the core of what it is. And once I got those two words down, I think that's really all the documentation I needed to write at this point. But of course, I had to keep beating away at it for a while. And I think at this, when I'm doing this, I'm sort of in the back of my mind mulling over sort of how the pieces come together, what the edge cases are and stuff like that. I'm now thinking, oh, it gets or drops, so it kind of, GitAnnax has a concept of the number of copies of a file that it knows about, so it's going to involve that, and the user is probably going to need to consider this at some level while they're using this command, blah, blah, blah. I guess I should also mention that I recorded this using just one window, using TDY-REC, and so I'm kind of jumping around a little bit more than I probably normally would have when I would normally have several windows open, etc. I'm going to pop this into full screen mode because I think that I moved to full screen eventually too. Okay, so at this point, I have a basic description of the feature, more or less, that I'm beating around on. I tend to over edit my English when I'm writing it down. And we'll eventually see that I end up deleting all this, so it's kind of a waste of time, but not really, because I am getting it down in my head what I'm trying to do. And I think we can already see the basic structure of the program here. There's two if statements, and I think it'll probably show up in code, right? of course, this kind of is programmer-centric documentation, because I'm writing, oh, if blah, then boo. And the user has to try to figure out how to make sense of this. Anyway, I also had some trouble coming up with the name of this subcommand. It's not really clear what it should be. I tried to brainstorm out a few names here, and I think I eventually just said, well, yeah, it could be balance. It could be tuning the tree somehow. Let's move it around and try to figure out what other subcommand it's like and put it near that. Oh, it's sort of like Fisk, right? We might Fisk. Fisk shows problems, aren't enough copies of this, and we'll run optimize and it'll fix it up. Or something like that. And I actually think that putting it near Fisk was another important moment, although I didn't realize it when I was just fiddling around in my man page, which needs to be reorganized and have some sections. Because GitAnnax has grown quite a few subcommands now, and they're all kind of like in a big blob instead of being nicely organized, which is something that came to mind as I was scrolling around in this trying to find the right place to put it, but I haven't actually gotten around to doing yet. Anyway, so I think we have almost finished the initial documentation phase, which, while it may seem a long time, as I'm sitting here talking, probably was only 5 or so minutes out of the 40 minutes that you're going to either sit here or give up on me during the screencast. And I'm done with the documentation, so let's go into the commands that are in GitAnnax. And for some reason, I decided to copy the fisk subcommand into a new command. And you know, I don't know why I picked fisk, although it turned out to be exactly the right thing to choose. And you could say, why are you copying files around? Aren't you sort of copy-paste programming here? And yeah, in a way, I'm copy-paste programming, but the fact is, I'm just using it to get the general layout of the file, all the imports and such. You know, all these GNAX commands are very similar in their layout, but it's not a similarity that can really be abstracted out to a higher level than I have so far, or at least I haven't figured out how to do that. So anyway, I copied it, I edited some basic stuff that'll give the usage message and make the subcommand work, all very obvious, just change one word into another. And now I'm like, well, I think I'm going to pull in some of the actual fisk subcommand, so I can start deleting stuff out of this file, and then I can just refer to it from fisk if I need to. That way I won't have duplicated code, because it was in my head that I'm kind of doing copy-paste programming. So maybe I'll use its seek command, which is the first stage, which when GitAnnex is told to work on a bunch of files, it goes through and tries to find them using seek. So I'm like, well, I'll just call fisk seek, right? And I was like, yeah, let's delete all this stuff. It's obviously just fisk stuff. I'm not going to use that kind of thing. So now I have, okay, three or four more functions here. Yeah, I go back to the seek thing. So I could use fisk seek, but that doesn't actually work because it calls start. And I want to call my start and not fisk start, because that's how we continue on with the flow of the command. So instead, I say, well, let's factor out this seeking thing. And what is it doing? I'm trying to figure out where to put it. So what it does is, what this is actually doing, when you get to the lower level, is pulling out git's annex.noncopies attribute and feeding it into the start command, which is useful when you want a command like fisk, or this new optimized command that knows how many copies of a file the user has requested for each file, which GNAX allows to be different depending on different types of files and so on. So I spent a little bit of time just fiddling around in here, making a with numcopies command that I can then call. So that's fine. I'm sorry, not a command, but a function. So now I have that function done. Woohoo! Move on to the next one. And what was I doing? I was probably thinking at this point. You know, most of the program is just sitting around and thinking. I should mention that this optimized thing came into my head around, you know, 3 a.m. last night, as ideas for code tend to do, when I was thinking about how I'd been using GitAnnex that previous day. So at this point, I'm like, well, I know that I need to know how many copies of the file there are, so I'm going to pull this code from down there. And what does it do? I don't quite remember how this function getNumCopies works. Let's go look at the actual definition of it. So it takes an integer and returns another integer. Okay, that's nice. And the you know, the details to you probably, I don't need to go into too much detail about the internals of the code here. I think what's interesting is I've copy and pasted a few more lines from fisk up into here, and again, you know, yeah, there's a little bit of copy and pasting going on, but we'll see what develops. So the basic idea of what I'm doing right now is this optimized thing needs to know how many copies of the file do we know about in all the different Git repositories that GitAnnex knows about, and how many does the user want to have maximum of this file. So we just need two integers, and I'm just pulling those two integers out. One of them is the safe locations, which is all the repositories it knows about, all the ones that it trusts to actually still be around, and how many the user requested numcopies. I'm like, okay, so I need to compare these two. Well, I guess I'll just use some if statements, and Here we have, of course, the if statements right that I was writing in the documentation earlier. So that's the first of them. If there are fewer than needed, then we will say, well, I am getting this file, because that means, okay, there's fewer of them than needed, then I'm going to go try to find that file somewhere else and add it to this repository, if possible. And yeah, let's add in a variable, it makes it much clearer. If present's less than needed, okay, now it's actually code you can understand. And in the else case is the other way. If there's more present than we need, then let's say I'm going to drop the file, and I'll try to run the command drop perform file. Now, these are the perform steps of other commands in GetInax, and I'm going to try to pull in and run, because that way I don't have to rewrite all that code, which is obviously would obviously be a bit of a bad idea. And base case, stop. Don't do anything. So that looks simple enough, right? And do we need this? Do we need that? Nah. We're done, right? Three functions. Very simple. Import these other subcommands, we can call them, and we should have a command subcommand that works. And, you know, if life were ideal, then I could just type something like that out and it would work. Of course, I have to go in here, add the subcommand to the GetAnax command so it's actually available to use, and we'll build it. I'm not sure why I rebuild everything here. I normally have a precached build, so I can just incrementally build most of it. Of course, I think it's because I modified command or something. Haskell can be a little bit of a pain about rebuilding stuff when you modify a core library. But we had our first build failure, and it was a missing, there was a variable there that wasn't even referred to, because I wasn't really thinking when I factored this out. I just factored it out, changed the name of the function, and left all the code as was, more or less, which is fine if you're doing refactoring. The nice thing about Haskell is that it actually can figure out what I wasn't really thinking and tell me, no, you know, you need to go think about that a little bit more. And eventually I realized, oh, okay, so I'm just changing this with adder file. I'm just running this with adder files on Git with a parameter. So it has the same type signature, except minus that parameter. Woohoo. And now it looks like some of it's building. I wish Haskell built a little bit quicker, or I wish that my laptop was a little bit faster, but hey. I think we all wish that, at least all those of us who use compiled languages. So here's another failure. And it's another type error. And as you can see, I didn't really look at it for that long. I just started fiddling around trying, because it looked like it was a plumbing error. I'd given it a file when it wanted a key. I had them both available, so I'll just put in the key. You know, that's the kind of thing Haskell's good at. When you have a lot of types defined, things like key and file and so on, it can tell you, yeah, you've kind of not gotten all your plumbing connected quite right when you're calling this command from this. So you don't have to think about it too much, right? And oh yeah, I probably needed some parameter to drop here. Also, it needs to know how many copies there are. It needs a key. Let's see if that works. Another type error! Oh no! Typical. And also typical is that this is a horrendous-looking mess of semi-formatted code, which I wish that Haskell did better. But you generally just look at the first few lines and hope you can figure it out. Which I'm probably doing right at that point. I'm like, well, what's going on? I think at this point I was trying to figure out if I had messed up with something in my start, which of course seemed to be working. And then I realized, oh, you know, I have forgotten to check this optimize thing in, because my diff doesn't even show it, which is something I always forget to do when I make a new file. So, and then I realized, oh, I've forgotten to use my new wisdom copies over here in Fisk, which I factored out of, which would be a good idea, right? And hey, then I can actually, like, see if it works by compiling it, even. And so it seemed to work. But optimize still failed, so I know that the problem isn't in Seek, which is actually obvious if you look at the error a little bit more closely than I did at the time. But, you know, when you're coding, you tend to, or whenever you're using a computer, probably, you tend to only read 1 or 2% of what's actually in front of you and miss a lot of stuff. We're humans. So there's some thinking going on here, and I'm trying to figure out, it looks like the way that I'm calling get is wrong. And then I'm like, well, look, I'm calling perform. And it looks like I need to add some of the start stuff that was up there in its start function before it gets around to calling perform. But gosh, there's actually quite a lot of lines of code there. So maybe I don't want to rewrite all those lines of code that check various cases and handle weird flags and whatever this stuff. I sit there for a while trying to figure out, why is this calling move from perform? You know, I'm just getting a little bit sidetracked and bogged down in details that shouldn't be relevant to what I'm working on. And so I look around this for a while. At this point, I'm trying to load up most of the get subcommand back into my in-head memory out of my, you know, Git file system-based memory and try to remember how it works well enough to actually use it. And then I realize, oh, I could just call its start function. Instead of doing, you know, recapitulating all that, I'll just call it. Simple enough. And that simplified things a little bit, so let's do the same thing with drop. It has a start function that needs a tuple containing a file and an attribute. Okay, fine, I can pass it that tuple from over here. Actually, oh, I have a tuple with a file and attribute. Let's just call it P, and I don't know why I call it P parameter, maybe. And there we are, P. Wow. And oh, nice. Oops, I put it in the wrong place. Okay, now I have this nice if structure. Looks like it might even work. Let's find out. And some warnings, but nothing important. It actually compiled. And actually, at this point, it would work just fine. And I've implemented the feature. So now we're going to go through the polishing of the feature. Actually, I didn't even bother to check that it worked, because I don't like having warnings that you know, mess up my build. It's more clutter. So I go through the little nonsense, which I need to find a way to automate, of removing all these unused imports that were in the Fisk file that I originally copied, but I'm not using all these various libraries and stuff. And I think I was scrolling up and looking to see what was up there, which you don't see in this recording. So, okay, I deleted most of them. Delete them all. Okay, we have a fairly short file now. That's nice. It's a fairly simple feature, all in all. I think at this point I was looking at that nested if structure and was thinking, gosh, that's a little ugly. I don't really like my Haskell to have nasty nested ifs. Can I do a case somehow with like a tuple of the two things that I'm going to compare? And then Haskell doesn't really let me compare things properly inside the case. So then I was like, how do I do this problem? Oh, yeah, right, I'll just factor it into a function. Let's call it dispatch. It takes two different parameters. And let's define this little function. And this was more of what the essence of Haskell programming is. You factor things out in a little function. It's a local function. It's pretty ad hoc. I'm making it up as I go along. It doesn't have a defined type quite yet, you know. And it has a case, which is what this bar thing is, if you're not familiar with Haskell, of present less than needed. And in that case, it'll run get start, and if present's greater, it runs drop start, and otherwise, it stops. And now we have some nice, clean, idiomatic Haskell code, which I'm happy with. You can look at it and see at a glance what it does, and of course, any person with an IQ over 10 could have written this immediately, right? Of course, it took me half an hour to get to this point, but, you know, there you go. And it links. And that takes a while on my slow SSD. Links again. Build some documentation with IkiWiki, and we're done. At this point, make sure that the symlink's in place so I can just run Gdanax, and I ran it, and I see that we have this new optimize command here. What am I doing? Ah, right. The usage message was just a little bit too long to fit in 80 columns, and so I went in and tried to figure out how to trim one or two words out of this thing, the typical, let's make it fit in some arbitrary width that was defined 40 years ago deal. Rebuild it for no apparent reason, since obviously it's going to build. I was like, why do I have 79 columns instead of 80? Fix it. Okay, it looks good. Oh, but look, status, or merge, also has the wrong width. Gosh, you always get sidetracked on some diddly little thing like this when you're a middle programmer, at least I do. I think part of the key is to keep the sidetracks down to minimum. And some little thing like this isn't a big deal. It's easier to just do it now than to remember to do it later. But if it takes more than a minute, you know, drop it. And build again for no apparent reason. Okay, so at this point I have a command. It seems to have a subcommand in it that does what we got started doing. Let's go play around with the subcommand and see if it actually does something useful. So I'm going to set up a little quick repository with Gdanax, which you now actually get to see being used. I put a file in it. I add it. Okay, great. I optimize it. Nothing happens. I was like, why didn't anything happen? Oh, okay, right, because I have one copy, and that's the default, and that's what I want. So that Gdanax optimize up here actually did the right thing when it did nothing. So then I made a clone of the repository. It doesn't have the file yet. I get the file. I have two copies of it. I optimize, and it drops it, which is exactly what we want optimize to do. It sees that, oh, there's more copies than I need, or if they're less, then it gets it. And there we are. Simple little command that's probably going to save me, you know, at least 2 hours of work, right? And it only took an hour to write, and maybe somebody else will get some value out of it. And now it's like, okay, well, I did that little quick test. Let's just make a actual test suite, mostly because I'm recording a podcast, and if I didn't do a test suite, I'd feel like a fool. So let's just copy get's test suite and fiddle it around until it works for optimize. So the case is, the first one's just like get. We optimize the file that's not there, and it gets it from the other repository. The other one is, the other case, of course, is going to be the dropping case, which I'm now writing. Maybe. I thought, well, maybe I need to specify the number of copies here. It'll be 2. Yeah, because that way otherwise it wouldn't want to get it from the other repository. Let's add that drop case, so then the num copies will be 1, which is actually the default, and it'll drop it, which means it won't be there anymore. Okay, great. So that's a simple little test case. It obviously doesn't test every possible way that optimize could fail, but it's enough to actually make sure that we have a command that basically works. And you know, that's a start. I can always add regression tests in later if I actually manage to create a bug in this little short bit of code. I wish I'd get rid of that orphan instance. If anybody's a Haskell god, please look at my code and fix it for me. Thank you. I don't want to move the instance over into the definition of key because of obscure reasons. Anyway, so I have a test suite. It works first try. That's nice. I would point out that my Haskell code worked on the first try too. Woohoo! As usual. And I think I fiddled around with it for a little bit more. Just making sure that, checking again that the things that I was testing actually made sense. Because I was still sort of new to the optimize command, having just written it. Not sure why I ran the test suite again. I'd like to hit Control C right about here. It's a noisy test suite, but yeah. And then I wrote a little changelog entry. Of course, this is obvious. You do tend to write changelog entries and commit messages and stuff. I'm going to go ahead and run through to the end of this, but you probably want to turn off about now. I don't think the rest of this is that interesting, right? Or maybe I could find something interesting to talk about. I don't know. Oh, right. So actually, this was interesting. I wrote my commit message. Then I realized, huh, you know, that little ad hoc commit message or changelog entry that I wrote is actually better documentation than what I started off with, so let's go put it in. And I think that normally I wouldn't do this. I would just write the documentation and get a good wording the first time, but like I said at the beginning, having a recording running kind of threw me off to the beginning, and once I got into flow, I was able to, you know, write it a little bit better, although I probably do go back and re-edit my documentation when I'm done with the command anyway, just because I might have it a bit clearer in my head. And what I'm doing here is looking at the walkthrough for GetAnnex, which is kind of a, you know, a start at the beginning and show the user how it works type of thing, and trying to figure out, shall I document this optimized thing somewhere in here? I'm trying to figure out the right place to document it so that they know, understand all the concepts that it uses. And of course, I apologize to you if it's been completely unclear what it does, but maybe this will help you figure it out, or you could always pull down GetAnnex and give it a try yourself. I think it's a great thing if you have lots of big files that you kind of want to keep in Git but don't quite fit. So I was thinking, well, it's kind of to do with backups. I'll just put it in at the end of this particular section of the walkthrough. But then I was like, well, it's not really to do with backups. Let's just make another file, another section here. Optimizing repositories. Still not 100% happy with that name, but we'll see. I think I was pulling out the synopsis, basically, to have something to start with. Yeah. So I'm going to speed this particular little bit up because I think it's just more English writing and not that interesting. I try to write this fairly colloquially, or, you know, I'm speaking to the user here. I'm not writing a man page. It just says what it does in some semi-formal and precise style. I tell, you know, I'm setting the stage for a little situation for them to some extent and giving them some examples and so on. I do sort of make up the examples completely arbitrarily and not copy and paste them, which is kind of weird. This walkthrough kind of sets up a scenario, and I don't actually have a copy of the scenario handy, so I just make it up as I go along, and then when I change GetAnnex, I have to go change it, which is kind of a pain in the ass. I should probably make a script that builds the examples in the walkthrough, but, you know, you don't have infinite amounts of time, and this isn't something that I spend a lot of time on anymore. Writing this walkthrough is mostly done, so whatever. Life isn't perfect, right? So, here I'm looking over the diff, committing it to Git. This is why I write a whole lot faster when I get commit messages. I'm talking to myself. I don't really care if anybody else can understand it. Oh, I also speeded things up by a factor or two, but whatever. And yeah, I think we're basically at this point done. I found one more little place that needed to have my refactored function, and a successful session. Thank you for listening. I hope this wasn't too long, and I might see you again in another podcast someday. For now, Joey Hess signing off. Bye.